So I'm a soil scientist by training, and I've worked for Extension for 20 years, and we've been learning more and more about partnerships and how to include them into what we're doing. And when we went from a county-based system, I had all the county contacts to work with, and then we went to a regional system, and I lost a lot of them, and so I had to build a whole bunch of new relationships. And at first it was really hard, but then, it can be very beneficial. So if you have a good team and it's a diverse team, you can get much more bang for your buck. In tillage, I used to do a lot just kind of on my own, and the problem with that is my sphere of influence is here. And so getting this team that has a much bigger area, it has been helpful, very helpful. So another benefit of having a good team, and which includes private and public and for-profit and non-profits, is that you get to share resources, you get to share money. people can bring different things to the table that I never even would have thought of. And you can also have really good support, and you also have somebody to support you if something goes wrong, because let's face it, not everything goes great out there. And being in Extension for 20 years, sometimes, and having my boss out here doesn't help, but sometimes I lose motivation. And I just, you're kind of doing the same thing. If you get a good team, they can just energize everything you're doing. They could just make you feel really good and like, I can do this again. And that's what I need. And we play off each other, and it works really good. And when we were talking about Twitter, and I saw your talk, we did this for a Conservation Tillage Conference, the CTC, and this is the third day. So the first day it showed just a little bit of social media, and the third day it just went poof. And so when people say, well, what's the impact of social media? Do a Twitter chain and look at what they do. You can't really say, well, they changed their practice, but you can say your message was getting out there. And so this really helps with the connections and our image and everything like that when you have more people on your team to help make these explosions. The biggest thing I've come across for partnerships is lack of communication. And I think a lot of times it's because I don't do the hard part up front. You wait until you're in the middle of it and you're like, oh, now we have to discuss how that money's going to get divided or how this is going to happen. And that's when people had assumptions on, that's where the conflict kind of comes in. Or they don't show and you end up pulling their part of the weight, which that happens too. And again, that's communication and keeping people up to their expectations of what you want from them. So with being a public entity with the University of Minnesota, perception is not reality, but a lot of your constituents out there think you gotta be really careful. If they think you're selling a product, you lose credibility. But you're trying to sell concepts. If they think you're in the pocket of somebody else, it just kills your validity. And so anytime I run my field days, I have every color out there, or at least I invite every color. If they can't make it, that's okay. But I'm not just going to have green showing up or just red, because that just sends a horrible message. Even if I don't care who's there, the perception is very important. And then we're under a microscope a lot. I know Mike has fielded a few emails and letters that have come into you because people, are concerned sometimes. So you got to be careful about what you do out there and that people are watching. So when I form a team, at first it was really easy to pick people who had like-mindedness because, hey, we can get going and we don't have any roadblocks and things like that. But I soon found out that whoever's going to be your audience, say for a field day or for a conference, think of every one of them and invite them on the team. Have it somebody that you can work with well. So if I'm doing a conservation tillage conference and I have exhibitors, I make sure an exhibitor's on there. And I make sure that the soil and water's there and the NRCS and a couple of farmers and a couple of consultants. And, of course, I make sure it's people that work well, but that they represent a lot of different sides. And some of the people that we may not think of them, but I'll run through a few that we use almost in every committee I have. And ARS and university, the specialists, what they're really good at is looking at the long-term picture. I'm the kind of person that I do things and I get it done and I'm looking here. And these people are really good at looking out further, and they're good at stats. They have resources of labor, and they have lab support and things like that. And so they've been very good to have on the research teams. And then when you have more of the regional extension educators or the county ones, and you look at the government agencies, and we have NRCS and soil and water and things like that, they offer resources as well. Some of them have equipment, and they have they know what kind of rules are out there that the farmers are concerned about that I may not have to deal with. So they'll come up and say, well, we have these programs, we have these rules, and well, we do our education within those guidelines too. And they can write grants. Some extension can write grants, NRCS cannot. So they usually call and say, hey, you want to be on a grant? We'll write it. You submit it. Well, I mean, if I like it. We also cover a large area. Extension does, and so do the county government agencies. The crop consultants, what I like about them is that they're spreading our message out. And we may not, they may not always give us credit, say, well, I learned this at a university event. But they do give it out to the farmers, and so they're a good extension of us. And they're also crop managers, and I've relied on them a few times. Like, if I walk into a field and I do things with tillage, and they come in and they go, whoa, your lamb's quarter's taken off. And I'm like, oh, okay, what do we do? You know, spray it. Well, I know we spray it, but I don't know what it's like. I mean, that's not my expertise. And so they can do that, or they'll show me aphids, or they'll show, you know, and it's a good learning experience. You get to know a lot more. And they're really good speakers. We actually just had one from North Dakota get an award today for the CCA, and he's a speaker for us. They're just good on-the-ground people. They know what's going on with their farmers. And farmers, you can't underestimate having a really good farmer on your team, because they're just great. I have a guy who's a chisel plower forever, and we put some tillage research on his, and just a few days ago he said, Jody, those ones out there, oh kid, they're using chisel plow. And I said, yep. And he goes, they're murdering their soil. Like, he's been chisel plow his whole life. But because we're with them and include them, and he'll be my best mouthpiece for years to come. He'll be at every cafe telling them everything. And they have the land and the equipment. So I do tillage research. Almost everyone has a chisel plow. I have to go find the other equipment, but they do bring these ones in. They have the combine and things like that. In industry, and also with farmers, they want stuff done that they can apply right away. So they lend that aspect to it. In industry, they can resources. So I work with quite a few different ones, Salford and Orthman and John Deere and Case, and I have them on the last slide, all these people that help me out and bring me equipment, and most of them for free. But you got to be careful. You don't give, we'll talk about that in a second. But they can also help with, they also get the message out, because they have large farmer areas that they cover. And so they can keep getting the message out to an area that maybe I'm not in. And commodity groups, we have the corn and soybean growers in Minnesota and the wheat growers. And they're very farmer oriented, and they'll look at the long-term things being done and the basic sciences, but they also really like the applied. And so they help us out with the funding part of it, because let's face it, doing some of these things is a little expensive. And so they help out with my field days, my conferences. And I also like them because they're kind of a neutral source. It's not, there's not a bad perception when I use them. There's certain entities here and there that people just are kind of hung up on, whether it's valid or not. It's perception, and you always got to be careful with this. And don't forget the media. They can really be a good friend. I let them come to everywhere for free, because they'll write the stories. And make sure you get the ones that will let you edit. Been burned a few times. Because I'm not the pit boss. I really don't like that title. And so if you get the ones that will let you edit, they send it off to a very large selection of people. So we have like the Corn and Soybean Digest and Ag Week, and they also are doing more videos now, and they're posting things online. And so they can really help get your word out, definitely where I cannot be. So if you're going to start this new team, my preference, it's even stronger than a preference, is that you meet in person the first time. I just I've tried where we meet first by conference call, and then people don't get involved, don't get invested, and then they just sit back in the shadows of the phone, and I can't bring them in. And so if we're at the table, we see each other, and if I see somebody's not, you know, engaging, I can call them out and say, you know, hey, I know that you're an equipment dealer. What do you think about this? They have told me some great things I never would have known, like one of my conferences was on the second floor, and I have a lot of exhibitors who bring in row units, and one of them says, how big is the elevator? I went, I don't know why. It's got to be 7 feet or I can't get my row unit up. I'm like, oh, but it makes me a better planner, because the next one, hey, I'm on top of it. People go, ooh, she knows stuff. And it's like, well, I had to learn. So it's face-to-face to me is just vital. And do you like this one, Mike? And so we have, everybody can have a different motive. You know, like the industry's there because they want to sell a product. They want to do that, and that's great. The farmer's there because they want some education that they can apply on farm. Consultant's there because he wants to make sure that he can pick up some nuggets of information other consultants don't have and the farmers don't have, so that he can pass it on and you know, be paid for what he does. And university and all of us have different reasons to be there, but if we have the same objective, that this is the way we're going to do it, with a field day, with a conference, with this research, then we're all in line and going the same direction. And by knowing what their motives are, you can find out what their strengths are and what their roles can be. Some of the people on our committees are just people who tell me, hey, this would be a good speaker. These are topics that I find important. And that's all they do. That's it. An extension is the workhorse. We are like, that's great. Let's go. And media is the one like, well, I just interviewed somebody over in Illinois, and they make a great keynote speaker. And so they all bring in things that I just wouldn't have been able to do on my own. But once you get that role, make sure that you do an email and a summary that, you know, this person said they're going to do this, and this person said they're going to do this, and this is how we're going to get everything done. And then every, you know, depending on the event and how close it is, keep up on those emails. Make sure that people know where they are. It also keeps them accountable, because if their name's in that email, they now must be held accountable. If you don't ever mention them, or you do a lot of things by phone calls, be careful. You know, especially if you have somebody that hasn't totally committed, put them on the emails, because then it is peer pressure. So, but communication is really important. Like I said, the first thing I love is the meeting face to face, and then Google Hangout or something like that, where you can see at least see their face on the computer. Call those quiet members when you're like, they're not really. You know, some people, especially farmers, will sit there and go, well, what can I contribute to you guys? You know all this. You've done it before. And it's like, yeah, but we do it for you. So, you know, please, I'd love what you'd like to do. Like I said, create this timeline and assign the duties and get that back out to everybody so, you know, they know what they need to do. And the things that I see is, like, you got to make clear up front, and this is where I kind of made some of the mistakes. Like, I don't sell the participation lists. I won't give them to the equipment dealers or the exhibitors. And I just, if I do that up front, then nobody's feelings are hurt. But in the middle, if they say, well, Jody, can I have this? And I'm feeling like, oh, gosh, you know, they gave a bunch of money to sponsor this. But if I would have done it up front, you say, well, no. So the other thing is branding. That's a big one. Like the Nature Conservancy, I actually have to file paperwork to use their logo. So you got to know what people want you to do or not. All the exhibitors that I use, I ask them every year for an updated logo, because they'll change a little word down below or something, and they want that one. And I understand, because like with ours, while that is our gold, we can't use that one on certain things. And they're supposed to be black and maroon and white. And so we need to know these. I don't want people using it wrong. I don't want them stretching it out to fit into a spot and things like that. It's us. It's, you know, who we represent, and we want it represented the best. Data sharing. Okay, so we get the research data, and oh my gosh. And so we there's a timer thing here. So you know, I gotta be careful that the stats are on it, and that they understand what those stats mean. And we've talked about that in some of the other ones. and then lists and financial restraints, like we work with NDSU. They have a different way that they can hold money than what the University of Minnesota can. I can do some gift cards. They cannot. I mean, just weird little things that you would never realize until you're in the middle of it. This is the biggest thing, is that always, just count on it. There will be conflict. Even if you go in the best intentions and you're best of friends and, oh, we'll, something's going to happen where somebody's feelings get hurt or they feel they weren't heard or whatever. And so there's a lot of things online that you can look at and the steps to take. Some of them I looked at, I said there's not a farmer in the world that was going to do this touchy-feely thing that they say to do. But there's other ones out there that are more farmer-friendly. So address it early. Don't let it fester. And the other thing is to stay involved. So when people don't join the phone calls and then they get mad because something went through that they didn't know about, stay involved. Then you'll know. Another one that I've had to use is, okay, if I'm worried about something and said, am I allowed to do this? Ask. Okay, I used to do, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, but actually it really works the other way a little bit better. It actually helps a lot. And listen to that little voice. That's not scientific, but it really, have you done that where you go, oh, I knew I should have done that? Listen, just stop and kind of listen to what you're doing, because it's very important. Okay, so since I'm out of time, it's just the things here, but the biggest one is give credit where credit is due. These are some of the people that I work with, and they really contribute a lot of labor, time, money, resources, advice, and they just make my program so much stronger, and it really is a team effort, and it's been really rewarding. The conflict sometimes hurts, but it's rewarding. Sorry, I went over a minute. Thanks.